welcome to the Smokin' PTSD Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Diver. I am a survivor of suicide, a survivor of childhood emotional and physical abuse, as well as a veteran of the U.S. Navy and a retired first responder. I started this podcast to help me on my journey to wellness by sharing my story, my thoughts, and my experiences in a hope that my story will reach and help others and let them know that it's okay to not be okay. With that being said, I am not a licensed mental or behavioral health professional. I'm just a guy who's been through some stuff and has experienced a trauma survival. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, medical treatment, or therapy. Always seek the advice of your qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding any mental health symptoms, and never disregard professional help or delay in seeking professional advice or treatment because of something you have heard on this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review this episode, as your comments can only serve to improve the content. Hello, everyone. In this episode, I'm going to talk about overcoming grief. As listeners to this podcast, you probably already know that I've endured a lot of grief in my life, perhaps more than most, although it is far from a contest. And not only have I experienced a lot of grief and endured it, I've also become a master at suppressing it and making it seem like it wasn't there, yet it was always just beneath the surface. And when it came to the surface, it usually manifested itself in anger. And those of you that have known me for a long time have probably seen that anger come out. Grief need not be over the loss of a loved one or even a person. Obviously, it can be a pet, but it can also be experienced after the loss of a belief system, a relationship, a capacity or role, a hope about ourselves, or an overall attitude towards our life, external circumstances, or institutions. I know that when I studied hard and put everything that I had into the promotional exams and didn't come out on top, that I felt a sense of loss and some grief for that when I was in the fire department. But when we grieve, we become vulnerable to pain, suffering, and self-doubt, which allows our defense mechanisms to take over, leaving us thinking that no one can help us through this. Unfortunately, however, before you can let go of grief, you must first hold on to it for a while. And that statement comes from Dr. David Hawking's book, Letting Go, where he states that grief is time limited, and because of this, we have the courage and willingness to let go. And I disagree with that sentiment. I don't think that by just simply allowing yourself time to mourn, cry, sense anguish, and long for what you have lost, that the body and the brain are going to heal. At least that has not been my experience with death. Simply because when I think of my father and his suicide and the ripple effect of that sentinel event, I still grieve for him. Or is that just depression talking? Conventional thinking coupled with research shows that grief can last between 4 and 6 months, and then is totally gone after 4 years. The research I've done on this topic has shown that the feelings I feel when I think of my father are more about missing him and yearning for the time lost than the actual feeling of grief. And I guess I just had a hard time differentiating the two. As with depression, anxiety, and PTSD, grief requires a reprocessing in order for us to truly heal from it. Unfortunately, there's no magic pill or a TMS-like procedure to eradicate the intense feelings of loss and the hurt that coincides with the loss of a loved one. The model of the grief process must always include acceptance. And there are a lot of different models out there, but all of them include the word acceptance. And what this means is that we have to accept the fact that our loved one is gone. We have to accept the fact that our candidate did not win his or her election. Once we are able to accept that, whatever is causing our grief, once we can accept it, only then can we actually move on. And anyone who has suffered grief knows it doesn't just end because you have accepted the outcome. It's not that simple. But grief is work. And working through the grief is a must in order for us to heal from it. And I read an article where it says that grief is like a maze full of twists and turns and hard to find the end. You will run into a dead end, turn a corner, make some headway, and then hit another dead end. After we accept the loss and the intense feelings start to subside, you are more easily able to accept the loss, acknowledge the pain, and acknowledge the pain and the loss, and move forward ever so slowly. In my opinion, those grief models are simply guideposts for us to acknowledge and learn from. Because we all are going to grieve in our own way, and we're all going to accept the death on our own terms. Stating that your grief should be gone in 4 to 8 weeks, I think, is a joke. And anyone who expects that of somebody else doesn't actually care about that somebody else. They care about the wanting you to get back to a normal way of living, or they want you to get back to work. They want you to get back to your job because they care more about the bottom line than they do about you. And I've probably held on to my father's suicide like a curse because I was so young when it happened, and I just didn't know how to grieve for him. And I think that maybe the fact that I wasn't allowed to go to the funeral may have played a role in that, because I had no opportunity for closure. And all of that is just pure speculation on my part, because I just simply do not know. The psychological basis of all grief and mourning is attachment. Attachment and dependence occur because we feel incomplete within ourselves. Therefore, we seek objects, people, relationships, places, and concepts to fulfill inner needs. Feeling the loss of a loved one is what it means to be human. And Brené Brown writes in her book, Braving the Wilderness, "This humanity transcends all of those differences that keep us apart." In Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant's book about grief and courage, Option B, Sandberg tells a wrenching and wholehearted story about collective pain, where her husband, Dave, died suddenly while they were on vacation. She goes on to talk about, "An experience of collective pain does not deliver us from grief or sadness. It is a ministry of presence. These moments remind us that we are not alone in our darkness, and that our broken heart is connected to every heart that has known pain since the beginning of time." I think that's rather helpful to hear, because when we hear that a friend of ours or someone we know has lost a loved one or even lost a pet, we can all empathize with them. And when we're empathetic towards our friends about their loss, it helps them to accept the loss more readily and more quickly, because there's an understanding amongst our peers of what it is that we're going through. And I think that makes things a little bit easier. Something that I think about when I say that is that an uncle of mine, his wife passed away when they were very early in their marriage, and their daughter was very young. And I was young when this happened. I was a teenager when this happened. And I remember him remarrying rather quickly. And I remember just myself thinking that was a little strange. But I think what happens is everyone grieves differently, and we all accept the grief differently. His wife had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, so they had a lot of anticipatory grief, where they were grieving. He was grieving for a long time, knowing that his wife was going to succumb to this illness. And having had time to grieve, perhaps made it easier for him to accept when she finally did pass away. But having someone else there with you to fill that hole in your heart and in your home makes it a little easier for you to accept the loss and to have something else to focus on other than grief. And you can focus on moving forward a little easier because you have someone else in your life that can turn your attention away from the negative and turn it to the positive. In her book, Rising Strong, Brené Brown writes, "We need to have more conversations about the protracted heartbreak that stems from feeling helpless as we watch someone we love suffer, even as that suffering pulls us down. Last, our silence about grief serves no one. We can't heal if we can't grieve. We can't forgive if we can't grieve. We run from grief because loss scares us, yet our hearts reach toward grief because the broken parts wants to mend. As C.S. Lewis wrote, no one ever told me that grief felt so like fear. We can't rise strong if we're on the run." And I agree with that. I agree with a lot of what Brené Brown says, and I know a lot of others do as well, but she just seems to be able to articulate thoughts that I have and words that I just can't seem to string together the way that she does. But our heart wants to grieve for our loss, yet at the same time, it wants to heal because it knows that staying in that constant grief state is not healthy for us. So we need to go through the models of grief. We need to become accepting of the loss. And we need to understand that as mean and hurtful and painful as it is, life goes on. Life goes on whether our loved one is here or not. And that's disappointing. I remember I felt a lot of grief the day that I got out of the Navy. I had served 4 years on that aircraft carrier. I put blood, sweat, and tears into my job. And the day that I left, I was standing out on the pier looking at the ship, knowing that the very next day she was going out on a deployment. And she was going out without me. And I had never missed a ship's movement in the 4 years I was there. And if that ship left port, I was on board. And knowing that she was going out the next day, I was grieving for that. I felt a lot of grief because I was disappointed that how dare she be able to operate without me being there. But that's the same with the fire department. I felt the same exact feeling my last day at Engine 1. And I walked out the door and that was that. And I gave 20 years of blood, sweat, and tears to that place. And Engine 1 probably went out on a run, 7, 8, 10 minutes, whatever it was, after I left. And the world just keeps spinning and things just keep moving forward. And as I had mentioned before, our grief need not be over the loss of a loved one or a pet. It can be a lot of different things that we can grieve. Recently, a friend of mine was in a car accident and he was really upset about it. And he was grieving the loss of his car, believe it or not. So it can be adamant objects as well as it can be inanimate objects. But Brené Brown writes, falling often leads to some form of grieving, even if it's simply grieving the loss of an expectation or experience. And I talked about that earlier with promotional exams. Complicated grief is something more, and like trauma, requires professional support and help. Complicated grief is an intense and long-lasting form of grief that takes over a person's life. It is natural to experience acute grief after someone close dies, but complicated grief is different. Complicated grief is a form of grief that takes hold of a person's mind and won't let go. People with complicated grief often say that they feel stuck. And I know that that's what I was attempting to state earlier when I was talking about how I've grieved for my father for so long and how Dr. Hawkins said that in 4 to 6 weeks, you're able to let go. I more closely side with Brené Brown's opinions on the subject than I do with Dr. Hawkins. So that's it. It's going to be a quick one this week. I didn't have a lot of time to to do the podcast. So I'm just going to do a quick one today, and I'm going to get to another one about responsibility pretty soon as well. So take care. Thanks for all the follows and the comments, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for spending a few minutes with me today. Please rate, subscribe, and review, as your comments can only serve to improve this podcast. If you or someone you know are struggling with thoughts of suicide, please call or text the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 988. Veterans can also call 988 and press 1 or text 838-255. You can reach me on Twitter at SmokinPTSD, on Instagram at Smokin_PTSD, or email me at thesmokinPTSDpodcast@gmail.com. And please remember, everyone you meet is struggling with something you know nothing about, so please, let's be kind to one another.